How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
All right, welcome everybody to Locked On Lakers. I'm your host, Harrison Fagan. Our audio quality is back. I want to apologize to everyone for last Friday, but Anthony Irwin is not back. He has driven to Temecula to fight people who are unhappy with the Russell trade, who are happy about the Russell trade, as is tradition. Before I get into who's replacing him, I wanted to remind you that, as always, you can find our full shows on Audioboom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, Stitcher, TuneIn, and today's Fast Break. Today's show is not brought to you by anyone. Sponsors, get at us. It's LakersLockedOn@gmail.com. But joining me today is NBA 2K community manager, Lakers hype video master, and purple and gold super fan Chris Manning. How's it going, Chris?
Good. That's a pretty hell. That's one good intro. I like that. I like that. I like that. That setup right there. That makes me sound a lot more important than I am.
Yeah. You know, I like to throw a lot of superlatives in there, but no, seriously, we're happy to have you on, and I appreciate you making the time for us today.
Yeah. Always, man. Always.
All right, so in addition, the reason I wanted to bring you on is because, like, in addition to our audio quality departing us last Friday, and again, like, to all of our listeners who suffered through that at that post-draft show, we had major mic issues. We aren't sure what caused them. We didn't realize it until after we were done recording. And so if you sat through that, you're the real MVP. But in addition to leaving us, positivity also kind of left us last week, which is the main reason I wanted to bring you on, Chris, because you, along with Chris McGee of Spectrum Sportsnet, are our go-to people named Chris who love the Lakers that we bring on for some positivity whenever Anthony or I are kind of particularly down on a move. So are you ready to kind of talk about Lonzo Ball and get all of our listeners in a better mood?
I am. I am ready.
Okay, so your YouTube channel is, like, I don't feel like I'm overstating it, and that it was pretty legendary among Laker fans. You made these, like, kind of beautiful, well-produced, almost like movie trailer-esque just videos of Lakers stuff. But you've basically, I went back and looked in your channel to, like, figure out exactly how long it's been, and it's been 2 years since you made a new video on that channel. And I know you've been busy with your 2K stuff. You've had all that stuff going on. So what is it specifically about? And all Lakers fans, you should go check out this video. We put it up on Silver Screen and Roll. You can find it on Chris's YouTube channel. Chris, how would people find your YouTube channel? I forgot the name.
YouTube.com/LD2K videos. And it's actually my second YouTube channel. My first one actually got shut down like a while ago, back in, like, I think 2010. So I kind of archived my older videos back on this channel, made some new ones. But like you said, it's been about 2 years since my last one.
Yeah. So, like, what is it about Lonzo Ball that inspired you to come out of a 2-year retirement?
You know what? There was something that I always told myself, as silly as it sounds. Like, I've been doing Lakers videos since I was like 10 or 11. So, you know, I'm now 30. That's almost 20 years of my life. And I always told myself, alongside my fandom and all the stuff that I used to do before I was with 2K, like, there's a whole bunch of people that kind of know me from working with, like, the NBA 2K franchise, and that's awesome. But, like, before that, you know, Lakers fans know what I used to do with all the video work and just being, you know, a huge fan of the franchise and obviously contributing in those ways. But it was just something, you know, that I was thinking about. And I always told myself, the day Kobe retires is probably the day I will stop making videos. Because you kind of think about it, and it's not – YouTube's kind of a weird thing today where, you know, like, I've never monetized on my Laker videos. You know, I don't get paid to do those. I do those out of fun. Almost like a really fun hobby for me, because I remember sitting at places like the Western Conference Finals 2000 when I was a kid. And I remember like the Game 7 comeback being in that arena. And back then it was before like it was cool to, you know, leave the arena early, or, you know, the Lakers fans kind of have this bad negative connotation to like not being loud and stuff. But back then it was known as the Lion's Den for the older Lakers fans that remember. And I remember just when Kobe threw the lob to Shaq, I always just kind of wanted to bottle up that moment of the emotion that I felt. And that's kind of, I think, where I started to do the video thing and it started to kind of take off, because I was trying to grab that moment and convey those emotions in this art form that is, you know, video making. And before that, I wanted to actually do journalism and you know, write, and I guess blogging wasn't a thing back then, but writing articles and getting into sports journalism. But there was something about the video thing for me that I just really was kind of attracted to. So I know that's kind of a long answer, but it kind of stems back from saying, okay, I'm good. Obviously I love editing. And even where I'm at now, I really like producing content, whether it's professionally or, you know, for fun. And so just being around content, and obviously basketball content, my entire life, it's not my career. I've always loved editing. I love working with other editors. I love working with other content creators. I love everything about content, but it kind of felt like there was a little bit of a void there, but I was at peace with, you know, I don't need to do any more of these. You know, I'm kind of moved on to the next phase of my life. But
it was like Kobe, who has made kind of the opposite transition. He went from like playing and doing like other stuff to now he's making movies.
Right. And that's the thing. You know, you have to, if it becomes something where it's not fun anymore, not that it ever became not fun for me, but it was just like a, you know, it was redirecting kind of my focus and some of my priorities. But for me, it was always just, you know, when Kobe retired, I always thought I would hang it up. Then all of a sudden here comes Lonzo Ball, and I'm pretty on cloud nine about the selection. I think he is a very special player, and we'll get into this in a minute, but
yeah, I think people can tell that you're pretty on cloud nine by the video.
I am, you know, and the thing is about the video is, I always felt like, you know, even in dark times back, like when we, you know, I mean, the last couple of years have been rough, but even back when the transition of Shaquille O'Neal leaving the team, and those couple years there where we had like Chucky Atkins and stuff like that, it was very, there was always like a beacon of hope that was ahead, right? And that's kind of what I always tried to create content around, is that beacon of hope. So, you know, with us getting the number two pick and Lonzo Ball being a reality with this franchise, and I know I'm not the only one, clearly, that thinks that Lonzo is going to be the future, but just his ability to control the game, pass, make everybody around him better. There's a lot of stats that people don't talk about. Like, he took his teammate, who the year before was playing point guard at UCLA, and struggled a little bit, took his teammate, they moved him to the number two, Lonzo comes in as a freshman, immediately starts, and then all of a sudden that two guard is now one of the best shooters in the NCAA, right? All their fast break numbers immediately jump up into the top 10. I mean, Lonzo's ability to see the floor, push the break, and pass, unselfish mindset, it really just, it excites me as a basketball fan. And I don't think in today's NBA we have like these true point guards that aren't like scoring well-rounded point guards. There's a ton of point guards that can score, control the game, pass, right? But you kind of, there's not really, in my opinion, a point guard today that's really like that pass first, unselfish type of player, you know, like the Jason Kidds, the Steve Nashes, obviously the Magic Johnsons. It's just a different game today. Everybody can shoot and stuff. And not saying that Lonzo can't shoot, because he was, you know, last 25 years, 70
too.
Plus.
That's right.
And that's what I keep hearing, is people keep saying he's not a good shooter. And I'm like, well, he's the last player in 25 years to go 70 plus from the,
no, he's,
you know,
just
2 point.
Weird. Like, his shot looks weird, so people assume, right, that it's bad, but he's actually, right, like a good shot. And it remains to be seen if he's going to have issues creating that shot or getting that,
sure,
shot off against NBA defenses. But, you know, you look at that sports science segment that they did on him where he had one of the quickest releases in the NCAA. So, and he also, right, shoots from like pretty far back behind the 3-point line.
Correct.
So I've started to come around to the idea that the shot is not going to be really an issue for him. Maybe creating his own shot might be, but as far as like spotting up and stuff, I don't think that's going to be a problem.
Yeah, I don't either. And you know, there was something about the homegrown story. Like, I'm trying to think back to another rookie that had this much hype coming in, and you know, it's very LeBron James-esque. I'm just saying, with this background story, being from that hometown, you know. But the thing that was really cool about Lonzo's story is that not only did he grow up in the LA area and he's an LA native, but he grew up idolizing people like Magic Johnson, right? And his dad kind of, you know, his dad teaches. Here's another thing that's interesting about the Lonzo thing. There's a lot of like blind hatred on him, which for Lakers fans, it's kind of funny when they have a little bit of skepticism, because, you know, it's like, it's kind of like how people used to blindly hate Kobe, right? And I say blindly. And now people are doing the same thing with LeBron. And like a lot of Laker fans were like booing against LeBron in the finals. I was actually going all in on LeBron, because I think there's that level of greatness where you just have to kind of put aside the blind hatred and appreciate what's in front of you before it's gone, right?
For sure.
So to me, you know, I think there's a little bit of that greatness in Lonzo, and him playing UCLA, him being an LA native, his dad helping, you know, obviously hype beasting him up. And, you know, everybody has an opinion about LeVar, but it's nothing the Lakers haven't handled in the past in terms of egos and personalities. They've seen it all.
Well,
you know?
I don't know that the Lakers have ever handled it from a parent before, but well, they're already kind of on top of it. I mean,
totally.
They didn't let him come to Lonzo's first workout, which I think was somewhat of a, I think it has to be taken as a little bit of a message when they let other prospects fathers show up at their workouts. So
yeah,
totally. You have that, and then you have at his introductory presser, like LeVar Ball, I don't know if you've seen this video from like his brief kind of media thing, but after Magic, you know, he went on and he called Lonzo the new face of the franchise, asked him not to break all of his records, and so the Lakers are just as high, if not higher, on him than you are. But anyway, so after that, like LeVar Ball, he's like, his son just got drafted by the Lakers, he spoke it into existence, he's standing there with a bunch of reporters, like you could tell he's ready to flex, like this was his moment. He was ready to hype up Lonzo, he was ready to say some stuff. They asked him about the Lakers and his playoff guarantee, and he said something like, he's like, I don't think the Lakers are going to make the playoffs. I know the Lakers are going to make the playoffs. And you could just tell he was getting ready to go. And then the Lakers PR, they just walked over and they're like, hey, LeVar, we're taking all the family back to the lounge. And he's just like, oh, okay. So,
yep.
You know, they're prepared to not let him. I think they're prepared to not let him put his foot in his mouth, at least a little bit. And that whole thing did crack me up legitimately, that they just like took him right away, but were like very nice about it. They weren't like, you can't talk to reporters. They're like, no, we're actually going to go back into the lounge. It's going to be fun.
I mean, the truth is, he's an entertainer, right? Like, he knows what he's doing. He's a smart
WWE
man.
WWE this week.
Yeah, exactly. I was just about to bring that up. Like, the WWE wants to bring him on. That should tell you everything you need to know about the personality of LeVar Ball. And I get a kick out of it. I don't agree with all the things he says, but I really like what he's doing, the spotlight that he puts on his kids. And you know what? People are saying, oh, they're putting too much pressure on Lonzo Ball. His dad knows what he's doing. I think he's taken that pressure when he was in high school, won a championship, going on to UCLA. His dad was always around. Like, Lonzo always says the right things. In my opinion, it appears very humble and, yeah, sometimes short-answered in questions, but that's a good PR training.
His PER, like his question answering efficiency,
right,
is off the charts.
Right. And that's what I tell people all the time. They don't understand that that's a good thing. You know, you don't want to elaborate and do stuff because,
yeah, I mean,
you've all read it
a little harder, but
right,
it also is going to let him put his foot in his mouth less. Whereas LeVar kind of is going to, like, I personally think that some of the stuff LeVar said, like the stay in your lane thing, all that stuff, like that was a little, he was towing the line, but some of the other stuff he said, his guarantees, like that stuff's hilarious. Like, I'm not going to lie and say that I want to write about it every single day. And I'm hoping that he goes on every single radio appearance and is always saying that stuff. That's not like ideal, but I do think that it's like, it's hilarious. And it's cool to see someone who supports their kid that much. And it's like so over the moon about how much they believe in their child.
Yeah. And you know what? I understand the different angles too. Like, I understand the people that are in the mindset of, like, his dad interferes too much, he says too many stupid things, blah, blah, blah. Like, I totally understand that perspective of it, but for me, I just look at it like, he's the entertainer, you know what I mean? Like, he knows what he's doing. And to be honest, it's probably set up a maturity level for Lonzo at 19 years old. He doesn't conduct himself like a 19-year-old, you know what I mean? Like, he's very mature in the way that he conducts himself, Lonzo, that is.
It's almost the inverse of what you'd expect,
correct,
from a highly touted NBA prospect and their parent, where you'd expect the parent to be trying to ground them, and then the
correct
kid is like making these brash proclamations. But with those two, it's the complete opposite.
Yeah, and so, you know, for me, I know this is a long-winded answer, but really what it came down to was I haven't felt this way about a player in this organization, obviously, since Kobe. And I know we haven't had a lot since then, but I mean, I have really high hopes for this kid. And just watching him play a lot with UCLA and being able to now know what he's going to bring to the Lakers, it's rare when you find a person that can elevate others around him without having to score the ball, you know, and then the ability to get off the shot, like you were talking about a little bit earlier, the ability to shoot the ball so efficiently. And you know what the one thing that, you know, you could say about his game was his mid-range game was a very strong college. He's only been working on his mid-range game since he ended his season with UCLA. So he's a smart enough player to know what his faults are. And I think really when he starts getting in there in this organization under, you know, Luke's system, and obviously we're going to see a little bit of what the Warriors had success in, which was ball movement. And that was really the problem, right, the last couple of years. Like, we had D'Angelo, and he just consistently really, in my opinion, just couldn't really elevate those around him. He's a great scorer. He's a great point guard. I think he's going to go on to be an all-star. I think I hope he has success over there in Brooklyn. But, you know, we needed a playmaker, and when last season was a good example of that, we were rolling. I said we were going to make the playoffs. Injuries happened. But we were rolling, and then all of a sudden...
That podcast, I don't want to go back and listen to our podcast from earlier last season, because I think we predicted Luke Walton was going to win Coach of the Year, and I think you said the Lakers were going to make the playoffs, and we might have called Lou Williams Sixth Man of the Year.
I did, and then a lot of injuries happened, but I'm not going to blame it on that, because here's the positives to it. What's the one thing that they struggled with towards the end of the season? Playmaker. They didn't have a playmaker. It wasn't scoring. In my opinion, you know, obviously the defense needs to come together, but on the offensive end, it was really they didn't have a playmaker. And when the ball got stagnant for the Lakers, it really got stagnant, and teams could outscore them, and then they'd go on runs, and it was kind of frustrating to watch. So I think with bringing in Lonzo Ball, the way that he sees and runs the floor and controls the ball, pun intended, you know, he's going to be able to come in and make a big impact right away on these guys. And here's the key. The Lakers cleared up cap space with the D'Angelo trade, right? And I know there's a lot of Lakers fans. I know, Anthony, I know you're listening and you're really upset about it, but I don't think that trade goes through the next day when we find out that the salary cap isn't as high as predicted. So
I don't know that the $2 million would have made that much of a difference.
I don't know, because,
for
you know,
Brooklyn this year, I think they still would have probably done it.
Possibly.
Man, but that's a point. That's an interesting point. I hadn't thought of that. It does make things a little tighter.
Absolutely, because, you know, you look at that little edge, and a lot of people are upset about it because it hurts a lot of teams, you know, not having the $3 to $4 extra. It doesn't sound like a lot, but when you start talking about, like, vet minimum and the MLE and all this stuff, like,
all of a sudden you're asking a max contract player to take a slight pay cut, you know?
Right, and so, you know, the Lakers clear up, what was it, $56 million in Mozgov's contract, pains me to say. And, yeah, they give up D'Angelo, which, again, I'm upset about from a talent standpoint. I was really looking forward to seeing what Lonzo Ball could do with D'Angelo out there as a shooter. But at the same time, like, I think Magic Johnson said it best, like, what we needed was a leader and somebody that people wanted to come to the organization and play with, you know, and you can take that away how you want. I've met D'Lo. I think he's a really good guy. He made some mistakes in the past for sure, that I think stay with him. And there's a, perception about him, that you can take either way. But at the end of the day, I look at what the basketball talent is there for him, and I really do hope he succeeds, because I was a D'Lo fan, obviously, of what he did, but he wasn't a playmaker that the Lakers needed. And I think playmaking is important. I mean, after all, LeBron James is still searching for that playmaker, right? As great as Kyrie Irving is, and he's one of the best in the game, he's not the same mold as, like, the Jason Kidds, the Steve Nashes, the Magic Johnsons, and that's okay.
No, they're different types of great. Yeah.
Correct. It's different types of greatness, but what the Lakers got was in that class of playmaking. And I think that is going to elevate everybody. And I love that, like, Lonzo said he wants to elevate Ingram, right? Like, immediately, who's the player you're most looking forward to? Ingram. Like, that excites me. Because now you have the two most, you know, the two biggest prospects on the squad that are, you know, that are excited. Like, Larry Nance is pretty high. I don't know if you read on, if you heard his podcast with Alex Kennedy, but, like, he came on and was talking about how he's excited about, you know, running with Lonzo Ball, and you could see that he's excited about just running the wing with, like, a playmaker. And that's something that I think we haven't seen here since, like, Kobe really came onto the team. Because the Lakers, during the triangle era and during when they were winning all the titles, it was all the triangle. They didn't need a pure point guard. They didn't need a playmaking point guard. You know, they had the Derek Fishers and that stuff, right? You needed shooting for sure, but we didn't have a playmaker. What, Nick Van Exel might have been the last one, you know? And, yeah. And even then, it's not, again, it's not the playmaking to, you know, the likes of
it
like
really might be Magic that was the last guy that you correct. Think of as a quote unquote pure point guard that correct. Was on the team that was like a relevant play. I mean, they've had guys that are mostly passers since then, but they weren't very good. Yeah, but I mean, I think as far as Magic goes, obviously he was talking about Lonzo, and I think the playmaking is going to be a huge thing for the Lakers that Lonzo is going to bring. I 100% agree with you on that. Like, their passing got better after Lou Williams got traded last semester.
Yeah.
Last season. I'm still in school mode. After Lou Williams got traded, their passing did get a whole lot better, but it's still, there was a lot left to be desired, which is why I think that the Lakers moved Russell to two guard and they wanted to see if he could play there right. a little bit and play off the ball. And he was really good. And you bringing up, I believe it was Bryce Alford, right? I'm not like an expert on UCLA's roster, but the two guard that Lonzo helped improve after he was playing point guard last season, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So you brought that up, and you know, it just, I couldn't help but think a little bit that, you know, that sounds a whole lot like what the Lakers might have been trying to do with Russell if they had brought him and Ball onto the team at the same time.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, the most important thing is they wanted to clear up cap space. That's the big plan, right? Yeah. And the last couple years of Lakers basketball has been tough. You know, it's been a semi-rebuild mode. There was some bad contract decisions made, obviously. Even stemming back to Kobe's extension, there was a lot of people that were, you know, upset about that.
Yeah, so cap wise, that was not a smart move. Business correct, wise, it was right. great for the Lakers, but
and you,
cap-wise,
yeah,
it,
exactly.
It was
and
a
so
disaster.
Today they brought in Rob Pelinka and Magic Johnson. And Rob Pelinka, obviously one of the most illustrious player agents out there, and he understands the salary cap and he understands the CBA, and that's a really important factor in this like D'Angelo trade. I know there's a lot of fans that are upset about the D'Angelo trade, but at the end of the day, you know, you have to give up something to try to clear up cap space and form what you think you can form if it's another super team, if it's recruiting certain players. I have faith in the organization now, and I think they have the right to make the moves they want to make, and I feel like they've made the first kind of domino move that will affect next summer, and that's really the big thing. And let's just put it in perspective. Let's say they don't have all the ammunition that they need this season. They don't have all the firepower that they have to make the playoffs. The big key to all this is if Lonzo can come in and have a direct impact right away in his rookie year, more people are going to want to come play with that. You know, if this prophecy is true, like, this is going to be really good for the Lakers because you're going to have a point guard that can run with anybody and help elevate them. And like I said, it's pretty telling that even LeBron James on the defending champion Cavs in the middle of the season is saying, like, we need playmaking. You know, it is important in today's NBA. And, you know, you look at the Warriors who move so well without the ball. That's yeah. what makes them so great. They move so well. Just watch the players without the ball in that system. That's why they're so incredibly dominant outside of, obviously, you know, the talent that they have. But they all play in a system that moves the ball very well. And so you're going to need playmaking from players to compete with that. And I think the Lakers and their system and what they're trying to do with Lonzo makes a lot of sense to me. And, you know, to finally answer your question, I'm hyped about Lonzo Ball, about as hyped as I was about any player ever in Laker history. And I really have a lot of faith in him that he's going to be that guy for us. You know, he's going to be where it all starts. And we could potentially see something that's very special next season, depending on who the Lakers can go and recruit.
Yeah, I think that it's, and I mentioned this earlier, but I feel like it's important to make the distinction that you can be really, really upset about the Russell trade. You can think that the Russell trade was a brilliant move from the cap perspective. Neither of those things have to mean that you think that Lonzo Ball is any less special. And I think that everybody, that's the biggest takeaway that almost got lost in the shuffle last week.
Correct.
Because of all
yep.
the rumors about everything and the trade and all that stuff, is that like Lonzo Ball really does have the potential to be that transcendent talent that Rob Pelinka keeps describing him as, the face of the Lakers, as Magic Johnson was talking about him. Like, he has a chance to be really, really good. And you talked about making an impact on it next year. I feel like Russell would have helped him make an impact next year, but ultimately the Lakers, I guess, for whatever reason, they didn't feel like Russell was that guy. And like, like, you know, you hear things that he was difficult to deal with, whatever. I don't know. Like, Kobe was difficult to deal with. Him and Russell aren't the same level of talent yet, obviously. But Russell was a really promising player. I think sometimes you deal with a guy that's, you know, a little difficult and you see what you can get out of him. But obviously the Lakers felt differently. They felt like they needed to get rid of the Mozgov contract now. I don't know that they needed to. I don't feel like Russell's stock would have ever dropped low enough that they couldn't have done that deal next summer when Mozgov only had 2 years left on his contract. But the Lakers wanted to do it now. So, you know, they ended up making that decision. And I did, you know, we got into the Russell stuff a little bit, but I wanted to ask you, you know, he got introduced in Brooklyn today. He was sitting courtside for that big three event, and he reportedly got booed during, like, why do you think he's so polarizing? Because he's obviously, there's basically been a civil war on Lakers social media this week over that trade. There's been people who are despondent about it, and there's people who have said, you know, like, get that snitch out of my locker room, and that kind of, and those are kind of the two sides. There's no middle ground. And I'm just like, why do you think he's so polarizing? Because you mentioned Lonzo as being like the most promising talent since Kobe, but Russell, in terms of the polarization, I think is the most like Kobe in terms of the way that he's covered and perceived.
Sure. I mean, listen, young people in the NBA, outside of the NBA, myself, probably you, we've all made mistakes. You know what I mean? Some of those mistakes stick with us longer than others. And
sure,
I just
would have been a disaster in the NBA at 19.
Right, exactly. I mean, these are really young kids, and it makes me sound old to say that, but you know, there is a maturity level that comes along with what they did for their careers, and it's a little bit of a different lifestyle, obviously, than you or me at 19. But I think, you know, sometimes you make mistakes, and there's repercussions for those mistakes. And I think at the end of the day, you know, you look at stuff like team chemistry, and you have to wonder if there's things that happen that make certain players want to play with certain players and not want to play with other players. And, you know, I think Russell, it's one of those debates that I'll let the people and the fans kind of debate what that deal is. Like I said, if it was me, obviously I wanted to see Russell grow here in LA. I'm a fan of what he does on the court, but maybe the off the court mistakes were too much for other players to say, I don't want to come play there with that guy,
and
you know,
Polinka,
or I do want to come.
Polinka,
and I don't know if that's
agent,
the answer.
So he's, like, yeah, he was an agent, so he's correct, heard this stuff. He hears from players. There is a chance that he's heard stuff about Russell or about guys not wanting to play with him. That's at least, I don't know that for a fact. That's at least a possibility, though.
That's
that
my opinion on it. You know, like, I don't know if I'm right. I could be dead wrong, but that's what I think. I mean, I don't know why a Brooklyn crowd would boo him, you know, unless they feel there's some kind of negative connotation to him for whatever reason. Now, I think Brooklyn should not be booing D'Angelo Russell, because I look up and down their roster.
Guys. You gotta
that's your best
chill.
Player. And if you're going to flip him for something, he's probably one of the very few players on that squad and roster right now that you can flip him for other talent. So I'm just saying, like, you know, I don't understand why they did it. I think that kind of sucks, you know? And I personally wish, you know, D'Angelo the best. And I hope he goes on to be an all-star wherever he ends up, if it's in Brooklyn or elsewhere. I think he's going to be a really special player. You know, I think if he gets that work ethic in, he could be something really special.
Yeah, sure. I think so too. And I want to go back a little bit. And you know, I think ultimately he probably will become that player. And I think the Lakers, this one might end up stinging a little bit. But I want to get back to Ball, because I don't want to lament the Russell trade anymore. I feel like we've done that enough over the last week. And you mentioned the team chemistry and all of that stuff. And Ball, all personality, all intangible stuff aside, I think he's going to help the team chemistry almost the most, in that his passing at UCLA created that culture of ball movement there. And I think that when the Lakers are adding a guy like this that wants to push the pace, that wants to run, that's going to find you every single time. He's not going to be looking for his own shot on the break. He's going to be looking for Larry Nance Jr. cutting down the baseline for a lob. He's going to be looking to set up, you know, whoever the Lakers end up having at shooting guard for a corner three or something like that. Like, this is a guy who wants to win, and that sounds really cliche, but he doesn't seem to care even a little bit about scoring. He wants the team to score. And I think that's a big mindset shift for the Lakers over the last couple of years, when they've been very ISO heavy. Luke has been open about how much more he wants the team to pass the ball. He wants them to pass it 300 times a game. They didn't get there last season. And while I think that's obviously an arbitrary number, but their ball movement could have been a whole lot better. And I think Ball is going to, that's where he's going to be the most transcendent as a rookie. I don't know that he's going to win Rookie of the Year or that he's going to make a huge impact otherwise, but I think that's going to be his biggest contribution to this team from day one.
Absolutely. And, you know, like I said, the other things are going to come alongside that, you know, that unselfish kind of mentality. And Magic Johnson said, you're the new face of the Lakers. Like, that should tell you everything you need to know about how much faith they're putting in Lonzo Ball. So
they were laying it on thick. Did you watch that press conference?
I did. Oh,
they
I watched
were laying it.
It
on thick. Like, the you're going to get your jersey retired. You're the face of the franchise. Leave a couple records for me. I mean, but Magic Johnson was not setting expectations low.
No, and I think that's okay because, again, he's never – Lonzo has never shined away from the spotlight, you know, and I know people go like they look at like, oh, Fox outplayed Lonzo in the tournament. You know, I look at that game and I'm like, look, if you know basketball, look at what happens with the Warriors when they get hot. When a team gets hot from behind the arc, they're very tough to beat, you know, and I feel like that was one of those games. But that's another, you know, story. But
yeah,
like, that,
and like I've seen analytics and stuff like only like 14 of those points came against Lonzo Ball, like were directly Lonzo Ball's fault.
Right.
And he was dealing with a hamstring injury. Like if you're going to do an NBA front office, I'm just going to say it, they would be stupid to draft Fox over Ball based on that one game. If they had other data to value Fox over Ball, then that's a different story. But if they're just looking at if you're just looking at that game and going Fox is better than Ball because he scored more points than him in a game where they were both playing against each other, that's just stupid.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think, by the way, I think Fox is going to be a tremendous player.
Yeah, I think he'll be fine.
I'm excited to see where all
Lonzo.
These...
I'm not saying this to crap on Fox. I just, like,
no,
I don't think you can base it on that one game.
Yeah, and I think, like, the cool thing that Lakers fans should be really excited about is you literally have another player that has, like, this mindset that kind of Magic Johnson had, was get out there, you know, and go out there and, like, elevate everybody, make everybody better. And, like, everybody that has played with Lonzo Ball has said his leadership qualities are unparalleled. The way that he runs and makes people better is unparalleled. Like, that's a good thing to have. And now we have that on the Lakers, and we have a guy that wants to be a Laker, which is something we've been missing for a while. People that want to be Lakers. We wanted Dwight to be a Laker. He didn't want to be a Laker, right?
This guy literally didn't work out for any other NBA teams. That's amazing. Like, I don't care. Yeah. I don't care how you slice it. That's amazing.
It's a cool story, and that's really, again, like, coming back to why I did the video. It's a great story, and I love telling stories in the videos. I always try to bottle up that emotion that I felt as a kid and hoping to share that with people, because that feeling of fandom never left me. I've been blessed enough to see some of the greatest Laker moments in my lifetime, and, you know, I feel like, you know, it was time to do a Lonzo Ball video. And the funny thing was, people won't believe this, but I didn't start on that video until 9 o'clock on Friday night. And I released it at 10 a.m. Saturday. So, I mean...
You just made me feel really bad about how long my video editing takes.
Don't feel bad. Don't feel bad. I'm unusually fast when it comes to editing. But most of the... You know, I was debating all night. I was up all night working on it. And I haven't done that, you know, in years, obviously. But... it's really cool to see the support that it's gotten. Like, you guys putting it up, I'm really appreciative of that. And other blogs and stuff that maybe haven't posted my work ever before are putting it up. So that's really cool, because I think it's an exciting time for Lakers fans. And being up here for the last 6 years and watching the Golden State Warriors grow, there's a lot of Golden State Warriors fans up near the 2K offices. And I just have to say, I've been holding it down for the purple and gold every single day wearing Lakers stuff. So
yeah, you've
I'm
told
very
me
excited
that,
that,
that that's not yep. easy to walk around in that in the Bay Area,
like, especially this season. Oh, especially this season. So, you know, it's one of those things that I'm just excited for my team. I'm excited for the future. And I kind of want to, I know you're the host, but I kind of want to shift something to, we were kind of talking about this right before we started, but sure. I think it's important, an important aspect to think about. And that's right now, as we're recording this, so obviously trades could go down, but the Cavs, Pacers, and Nuggets are discussing a three-way deal that would land Paul George in Cleveland and Kevin Love in Denver. So those
this never happens. We got breaking news while we're recording, not live, but I guess we can get into it.
Literally live. So here's my take on all this, okay? This trade goes down, right? You have this cap space. We know Paul George reportedly wants to be a Laker.
Hell bent on being a Laker.
I said to my friend, the best thing that could happen is PG go to the Cavs this season.
Okay. All right. Explain this to me.
Okay.
I'm very curious.
Here's my thing. And this is a pipe dream situation.
Well,
and
hold on, before you get to this, yes. I want to be specific about the rumors that we're talking about. It sounds like Cavs, Pacers, and Nuggets are talking about a three-team deal. It looks like there's not a whole lot of reports about who's going. I think it looks like right now it looks like Love would be going to the Nuggets, and like Fareed and George would be going to the Cavs. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Yeah, so this is all kind of breaking, like
not
we're saying.
Totally
so
clear on what the Pacers would be getting back, but I guess the Lakers aren't offering them a ton either. So
my thing is this, and I think Jimmy Butler on the Cavs, a lot of people were excited for that prospect. Like I don't know how much better that makes them because they lose the size, but Paul George going there is obviously a different story. I think that would make them incredibly better, and especially when
they'd
you start
be so much fun to watch next.
They'll be amazing. But here's my thing: I always said like, you hear all these LeBron rumors, right? And you could take it for what you want. I'm not going to sit here and hype beast that up because I think it's definitely a pipe dream. But just think about this. PG goes there. Obviously, it's reported that LeBron wants to come out to LA. You have those two guys there. They talk. People talk today. People are friends. You know there's a deep respect for Paul George and LeBron James. Maybe some recruiting starts. I'm just saying, it would be a hell of a story for LeBron to come out to LA to the biggest franchise in NBA history. Sorry, Celtics fans, but it's true. And come to the Lakers.
No, Celtics fans, you don't have to apologize. The Celtics fans won like 12 titles when the league was like Bill Russell and a bunch of accountants.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, my point is, there's always that little small window. And I don't think Rob Pelinka and Magic Johnson are not thinking about that. You know what I mean? Like, I think this is like the vision. And yeah, it's a dangerous game, to be fair, for those that like don't like the D'Angelo trade. It's a dangerous game to just sit and hope that a free agent comes. Because that's something that the Lakers have missed for a long time. They've swung and they've missed. They've traded for free agents. The Dwight situation, perfect example of that.
Yep.
Swing and a miss. And nobody at the time when Nash and Dwight got here thought that was a bad trade.
No,
everybody was on cloud nine. So that's what you have to put in perspective, right? We did get CP3 for 3 hours before it was vetoed.
Yeah, that was that was when I was more of like a really bleeding heart fan. And that was an amazing 3 hours of trash talking every single one of my friends until that got vetoed.
I've said it for so many years. Chris Paul, the best three-hour Laker of all time, unparalleled GOAT.
Honestly, you can blame me for the veto. I feel like I sent so much trash talk during that small window that just like karma-wise, David Stern could not allow the Lakers to end up with Chris Paul.
Man, it's just crazy. But, you know, that's another situation you could break down for another time. But we know how Lakers fans feel. But my point is, you swing, you miss, you swing, you miss, you swing, you miss. I like the fact that we have new management in there. I like the fact the attitude and the philosophy that's being implemented with Luke Walton. You saw Luke in the finals hanging out with Steve Kerr. You know they have a deep respect for each other. And listen, whether you love or hate the Warriors, that brand of basketball is the future of the NBA.
For sure.
You know, and you're seeing that, again, coming back to LeBron, wanting a playmaker there, and Deron Williams wasn't that playmaker for him, clearly.
No.
That shows you the kind of philosophical shift in how these players play and what is needed, because Kyrie and LeBron are two of the best isolation players in the NBA at their respective positions, no question, undoubtedly, and they struggled and they almost got there, but almost isn't good enough against this Warriors team. So you have to start to think about the future and what these guys want and how they want to play, in my opinion. And, you know, with these rumors circulating, and yes, they're rumors, and we're going to hear a lot of stuff that may be true or false, but, you know, if Paul George does really want to come home to LA and does want his jersey hanging up there alongside Lonzo Ball. See what I did there? When his career's done. You know what? I think that's what he has in mind. We're going to have to wait and see, but it would be interesting, a little twist to this story, because I think Laker fans are definitely holding for PG, and I think there's a lot of people that want him here. It would be interesting if he did go and play with LeBron and they could have those conversations, potentially, or not.
Or they go and win, and
he stays there in Cleveland. You know what I mean?
That's what I wanted to mention, is that's the big risk here, is if he ends up in Cleveland, sure, him and LeBron could talk about how nice it would be to live in Los Angeles and play in Los Angeles together with Lonzo Ball, who put in a very spirited recruiting pitch for LeBron before he was even drafted by the Lakers,
which was
funny. But the Cavs, apparently, according to Mark Stein, the Cavaliers believe that if they trade for George, that's kind of the one scenario that could convince both to stay there and not go to the Lakers.
Yeah, and I mean that's
the possibility. Risk, is that they like playing there? They like playing with Kyrie Irving. You know, I'm not going to say they like living in Cleveland, but LeBron probably likes living in Cleveland, living near his family and his home. And maybe George would come around. I don't know. He lives in Los Angeles during the off season, but that's the risk there, and that's the risk with getting rid of a guy like Russell and banking your hopes on free agents who you aren't sure if they're going to come or not. That's kind of the game that you're playing.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, there is a risk there. And, you know, LeBron James and Kyrie and Paul George would be something to watch. That would be pretty special. So we're just going to have to see how this thing shakes out. I think the Lakers did the right thing by not moving the 2 pick, by not moving the late first round picks. Picking up Hart, that's a whole nother podcast. I think Hart's going to be a gem. Honestly, that to me was like one of the biggest steals of the draft until the Warriors, you know, picked up Bell, which really upset me.
Jordan Bell dropped like
unreal.
Dropped so many spots for a couple missed box outs. Like I feel bad for Jordan Bell.
I don't. He's on the Warriors now.
Well, actually,
you know,
true.
Like I wish you would have boxed out a couple guys and got, you know. I thought Portland was going to get him. It was just really, that was shocking to me. Those two players, Hart and Bell, who are NBA ready in my opinion, like that was really interesting to see them drop. I'm really glad we got Hart. I think he's gonna. I think he'd come in and start the two.
Okay, why are you
frank.
So high on Hart? I'm curious, because I don't know that much. I've freely admitted many times, besides the top prospects, I have not watched very much college. So why are you so high on Hart?
You have a guy that stayed in college, a guy that has an NBA body that's ready to play, right? You know, and we know about the Lakers in the past have drafted prospects. I feel like they went and got an NBA-ready guy right away who can shoot, defend, score. Like, go find a weakness in this game. He's a great player. Like, you know, I didn't watch many Villanova games, but I thought it was really cool to get an NBA-ready guy and somebody that can really do it all and play with a lot of intensity. And that was really exciting for me because I thought he was going to go a lot earlier. I thought he was going to be a top 15 pick potentially, at least top 20.
Okay, so you're thinking like solid 10-year role player career type guy.
Yeah, I mean, we need shooters. He can shoot. We need defenders. He can defend. We need big bodies that can drive. You know, he could do it all. You know,
certainly need shooters. Right now, their best NBA shooter is Brook Lopez.
Yeah, exactly. Which that's the one thing they need to go after in free agency for sure. For this, at least this upcoming season. I mean, ask New Orleans how it feels to have no shooters, right? Like, it's tough in today's NBA. You need the 3-point shot. So that's one thing that is a big glaring weakness, right? Like, you have Lonzo Ball running out there this season, and you don't really have shooters, which is a little bit of a concern. But at the same time, this will be a good test to see how great this kid is. You know, and I think it's going to be even more telling. Like, people will want to come to play with that in today's NBA, and especially if they land a big free agent.
Well,
you
especially
know?
If they're shooters, they're going to want to come play with a guy like that.
Yeah, exactly. And I know this is just the start of it. It may not be tomorrow, but a couple seasons from now, you know, this could change. And it could change around next season with the cap space that they opened up in the good Brook Lopez trade that I would do 10 times over because you're opening up cap space. People get too attracted to, oh, that's a bad trade. The talent. Cap space is important.
Space is important. We're going to have to disagree a little. I don't think that was necessary. I think that's a good trade if you get somebody with cap space. If you don't, I think that's a really bad trade. That was not a good trade for the Lakers.
But remember, Brook Lopez is arguably at his best a top 5 center. I mean,
he might be, but I think that says more about the center position than it does about Lopez.
That's true, but at the same time, you get a guy in here that's a little fresh. And
no, he's
not
good. He was a better player than D'Angelo Russell last year. Like,
that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. So, like, people say we didn't get any talent back, but we got one of the best centers in the NBA and a guy that plays hard, a guy that can stretch the floor, which is what they need right now from the 5 position. And, you know, a guy that can go in there and obviously rebound and do his thing. And, you know, we don't have to worry about Larry Nance Jr. dunking on him this year. So that's good. You know, that's a good thing.
That first interaction between the two of them needs to be
amazing.
Spectrum Sportsnet, if anyone there, if you're listening to this podcast, make it happen.
Exactly.
That's an absolute necessity for next year's Backstage Lakers.
Exactly. So, you know, I think, honestly, though, Brook Lopez is a big pickup, and I think people are undervaluing that. If it doesn't work out, unrestricted free agent at the end of the season. So again, more cap space.
And then, but the flip side of that is, if it does work out and he is really good, then he's gonna. You probably won't be able to keep him if you're trying to draw these other guys.
I mean, let's see what happens, right? Like,
yeah. Well, that's the thing about this trade is everybody wants to judge it right now, right this second. And I'm among that. You know, I went on social media. I did quite a bit of writing about the trade since then. I've given my thoughts on it. I don't think it was the best move unless they get the results that they're looking for, which we won't know for a year. So I do think that some of the vitriol about it has been over the top because, yes, this is the same thing that Mitch Kupchak and Jim Buss were doing for the last couple of years. Darius Soriano, Forum Blue and Gold, wrote an excellent article about that on his site. It's the same thing. The difference is the charisma of the salesman going into the room, and we haven't seen how well Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka can pitch free agents. I do think that for Magic, like, pitching guys and pitching businessmen is different than pitching NBA free agents. For Pelinka, pitching NBA players to join your team is different than convincing them to join your agency. But these guys believe in their charisma, they believe in their recruiting ability, and we kind of have to see how it works out, even though, like, nobody wants that take because that's boring. But you kind of have to wait and see. You have to wait for the results, really, to judge whether or not this ended up being a good trade. I don't know if it was the best process, but it could be good results, if that makes sense.
And I read something, and I can't quote it directly because I'm really struggling. I read it on Twitter, and I was reading this article, and they were talking about the Lakers did shop around, you know, those contracts, and nobody was interested. So, yeah. I mean, you have to look at it from that. If they were actively trying to clear that cap space, then they did make a great basketball move for the organization. Yeah, it really – obviously losing D'Angelo hurts, but at the same time, you know, you draft a Hart, you get a Clarkson in there. Like, these guys can continue to grow because I think for a long time there's a very – I don't know if I would necessarily agree with this, but people believe Clarkson might be the best player on the team, right? And so allowing him to grow and getting more, you know, I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. But again, it would have been nice to see. I would have loved 1 year of Lonzo and Russell. And I do understand what you're saying, which is, was that the best trade? Did they get the most value back for him? But at the same time, again, who knows how much people want to invest in somebody that maybe people don't want to come play with. I mean, maybe that's why the Brooklyn crowd again was booing. I don't know what the answer is. And there's like a negative connotation around D'Angelo, but on the court, I think he's a phenomenal player, and I think he's only going to get better. And I do think and hope he goes on to be an all-star. You know, I think he's a great talent for what he does. But the one question is, coming off pick and rolls for me, right? It was a little bit of a struggle when they would run their pick and roll game. That's a problem. And the second thing is, in the couple years that he was here, I don't think he consistently had the leadership qualities that I think this team needs to get to the next level.
No, he wasn't a leader yet.
That's the thing that people need to understand, and that's why they traded him to clear the cap space, is because you're bringing in Lonzo Ball. You know he's a leader, has leadership qualities. In my opinion, conducts himself very professionally, way more mature than a lot of other 19-year-olds. And, you know, even though he comes with the baggage of his dad, I don't worry about that at all because I know how the NBA operates and parents aren't involved, period.
Yeah.
He'll be the entertainer. Don't get me wrong. He's going to be on ESPN. He's going to be on WWE Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, the only way it goes wrong is if he starts bad-mouthing Lakers teammates. And I don't – you know, there was a time where I thought that might be a possibility. I've started to come around to the fact that he's kind of in on the joke and he's wink-winking. And, you know, I don't think he's going to go that far. But we'll see.
Yeah, and I mean, that could be a concern for sure. But the level of talent that Lonzo Ball brings to this organization and the mindset and the philosophical approach that we're doing is we want to create showtime again. We want the ball moving. We want the wings running the break. We want Lonzo passing the ball. We want that engine to go, 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 go. That is such a different philosophy than getting the stars stacked up, bringing Phil in here and running the triangle. You know, you're seeing kind of the disaster that's over in the Knicks organization. By the way, not to defend Jim Buss, but thank goodness that Phil didn't step into that.
Yeah, that might have been Jim Buss's best decision while running.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, it's such a mess over there. Anyway, that's a whole other topic of conversation. I have a bunch of friends that are Knicks fans, and I said on Twitter, I'm sorry, Knicks fans. They all jumped at me because they like their draft pick, but I was saying it's more of like the disarray of that organization now. Like, you've alienated two of your best players and a young player that was putting up better numbers statistically in each category than some of the top well-known guys. It's just, I don't know, man. You know, Melo, I feel bad for Melo, and these guys are saying all the right things, and it just shows you, like, that is important. You know, Chris Paul would have probably been interested in going to the Knicks as other free agents if it wasn't in such disarray. And you know what? That kind of sounds a little bit familiar. for Lakers fans. So I like that we have new management. We have this new philosophy. We have this stud muffin that's going to come in and absolutely run the show, Magic Johnson-esque, come in, elevate teammates, and let's see what they can build. And yeah, they might swing and miss a couple times, but here's the nice thing. We have, I think, centerpieces now that we can help develop, and I think people are going to want to come play with that once this, you know, this system and this style of basketball, this brand of basketball starts getting going. I think, you know, it's a little bit of a domino game, right? And the first domino's down, the second one's kind of swaying back and forth, and it'll be interesting to see what happens with Paul George. Obviously, I would love and hope and pray that he becomes a Laker. But, you know, if he becomes a Cav, a lot of things could change. So we'll have to see what happens. If but there's that, if that there's good and bad with that.
If that proverbial domino does fall, then it's going to be almost like the opposite of the Dwight and Nash moves, where everybody who like kind of claims in retrospect that they didn't like those moves at the time, all those same people that were also mad about the Russell trade are going to claim that it was like a good idea at the time. You know, like that it was like this universe. If it works out, people are going to be a lot happier about it than if it doesn't. And, you know, that's why I think it's ultimately we're going to have to wait and see if they can kind of snag LeBron and Paul George or even just Paul George. But what the trade talk did make me want, I think we'll start to wrap up on this. But okay. what this kind of late breaking Paul George trade talk did kind of make me think that we should talk about is that do you think that the Lakers should try and get in there and maybe up their offer if they're going to, like, do you think that they should try and get back involved in these Paul George talks and keep him from going to the Cavs so that he doesn't end up potentially going there and being happy? Does this, like, change your thoughts on that?
I think the Lakers were where they needed to be from step one. And I think the longer that the Pacers wait, the less of a possibility of a good trade for them is going to happen. You know, it's like, it's interesting that Denver would want a player like Kevin Love when it's been reported that a lot of other teams, there was almost that mega deal that went down with, you know, reportedly with the Knicks and Melo and Porzingis going somewhere, right? And I think it was Cleveland. So who knows if these are true or not, but like the point is, I think if Love was a really hot commodity on the market, we would have probably already seen Paul George in Cleveland. So it's interesting that the Nuggets now are involved. We'll have to wait and see. I think the Lakers were probably there where they needed to be in those conversations. And I'm really glad they didn't give up the two first-round picks. And I'm glad they didn't give up the number two pick.
Their offer realistically without it being a bad trade.
I'm hoping that the greatest recruitment in L.A. Laker history happens, and that is PG going to the Cavs, them taking a shot at the Warriors, and seeing what happens after the season. It could be disastrous for the Lakers, or it could be one of the all-time memorable summers next season. And
yeah,
you know,
we've
what
talked about Paul George, like if he had went to, back when there was a lot of rumors about him in the Celtics, if he had went to the Celtics and then walked to the Lakers, he would have deserved a statue on day one. But yeah, if he goes to the Cavs and convinces LeBron to come to the Lakers, then he deserves like a statue in front of Staples. Go put one in front of the Forum. Go put one in front of City Hall. Like if he went and did that, it was that hell bent on going to Los Angeles, then he's the greatest Laker of all time. I'm sorry. Like apologies to Kobe Bryant. Apologies to Magic Johnson. Apologies to future Lonzo Ball.
But even if it's not that, and that's what he wants to do in his future, remember, like, I thought people were criticizing him on Twitter, and I was like, why are you criticizing Paul George? If the organization decided up tomorrow that they were going to move a player, which organizations do every single, you know, offseason and during the season, it's cutthroat. It's business. It's a business side.
No, but
at least he went there before the draft to allow them to maybe make a move for a higher pick or whatever it was. At least he went to them. It's not like Paul George's people were publicly letting the public know that, hey, we want out of Indiana. No, he let the organization know, look, this is my intentions. I'm not going to bill on you like Kevin Durant. I want you guys to be able to make a move if that's the right thing for the organization. I'm ready to play hard this last season, but I wanted to let you guys know my intentions. I think it was a good thing to do for Paul George. The organization obviously felt that it needed to get it out to get the highest bid on Paul George in a trade. And, you know, I think there's a lot of interesting things to say about that. Like, I don't understand the hate for Paul George in that regard, but
people just hate, like Indiana would move Paul George in a second if they felt like they had a better offer. But, like, if Paul George feels like he has somewhere where he'd be better or he'd be happier, then it's like, oh, like, you're supposed to show loyalty to your team. Like, that's just how sports coverage and how sports fandom works for whatever reason.
Teams leave all the time. You know, teams trade players all the time. And players leave teams all the time.
Whatever.
And that's okay. But when it becomes, a player is letting his organization know, and I think Paul George didn't owe the Pacers anything to tell them that, but that's the kind of character that Paul George is. You know, like, he's a good dude. Like, Paul George is a really good guy.
Yeah, he could have just played out the season. He could have been almost like Dwight Howard was for a time, where he just, like, wasn't willing to give his true intentions. He was just, like, dithering back and forth. Or, like, Kevin Durant last season when he left the Thunder. He just, like, he didn't tell them the season before, move me because I'm thinking about leaving. He was like, I don't really know what I want to do. And then the Thunder got left with nothing in replace of him. And so Paul George in some ways did do Indiana a favor, depending on whether or not it was his camp that leaked it to the media that, he had said this. I don't know how much of a favor, but he did do them a favor. At least they know, and they can go out and shop.
Well, it would devalue his trade value, too. He knows that at that point, if he were to say, I'm a free agent, I want out of Indiana, like, that'd be one way to handle it. But I feel like, he let the Pacers know, and I didn't think he owed them that. But, I think that shows his character, and that's a cool thing to do. I know Pacers fans are obviously going to be upset at that, and I get it. Like, he's your franchise cornerstone,
and maybe he wants to leave your team.
Yeah, but you know what? There's been a lot of those kind of stories throughout NBA history. We just saw it with Kevin Durant last year with the Warriors, And I just think, to kind of talk about this one more time, like, I think with what Paul George intends to do, and who knows how hell-bent coming to the Lakers he really, really is, but it is interesting if the Cavs got him, what would happen. I don't think Dan Gilbert's exactly doing the best moves to keep LeBron in Cleveland. You lose LeBron twice in your home city, pretty bad.
I think there'd be some real torches and pitchforks out for Dan Gilbert.
For sure.
Especially if him and Paul George left for the Lakers. But, we'll have to wait and see what happens. I don't know. Sometimes these leaks are just like a team trying to drive up leverage on their thing. So who knows if this is just the Pacers really trying to get the Lakers to up their offer. I guess we'll just have to wait and see. And I'm just hoping that nothing breaks right after this podcast comes out.
I know. We're going to get off and then record one that
Paul George is on the Lakers. So you guys just wasted an hour.
Yeah, exactly. But one thing I will say to your point is this is the game. This is the dice that they're rolling, the Laker organization. And that's the game that we're playing in a smart way, right? Like this is now the game. So this is the chance that you have to take. It could pay off or it could be a disaster and we land nobody. But
yeah, you got to take your shots. If you end up with Paul George and LeBron, then that's awesome. And if you don't, then you're going to get criticized. And that's the choice that Magic and Polinka chose to make.
I still think, LeBron to LA, there's going to be a lot of people that are excited about it. I take it one season at a time. I don't think about that kind of thing, but I'm hoping that the Lakers, they can land somebody and obviously that's the gamble that you're taking, but it's handled in a smart way. Next summer, I don't think people are going to be too upset at that Brooke Lopez cap space trade. I think that's going to be key in what they're trying to do next summer. So we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, if that cap space turns into a superstar, then I don't think people are going to be upset either. So let's wrap this up. Summer League is a free agency summer league coming up the next couple weeks. What are you most looking forward to about the offseason?
Oh, summer league. I wish I could fast forward to seeing Lonzo Ball lace up those big Baller Brand shoes and get out there and start running and gunning. I'm on cloud nine about this kid, obviously. I haven't felt this way as a Lakers fan to even pick up and do a video in a couple of years because I was at peace with how I decided to kind of, what my last videos were and the story. But, it's amazing how excited I am for Lonzo Ball and all the pieces around him that are working hard. You see all the young guys working together, Larry Nance, Ingram, Clarkson, all these guys, the entire Laker roster is out there, trying to improve and knowing what they need to do to get to the next level. And that's exciting for me. That's a really exciting thing in LA because, like I said, we haven't had a playmaker like this since Magic Johnson, really.
Yeah, Lonzo Ball at Summer League is in Las Vegas. That first weekend is going to be one of the most lit basketball games I think you'll ever witness.
Mm-hmm.
Because Summer League Laker fans are a whole different breed than Staples Center Laker fans. Like last year, that building was about to explode for Ingram, Russell, Larry Nance Jr., undefeated Summer League Lakers over that first weekend. When it's Lonzo Ball and he's bringing in that already, like, the hometown is in love with him element, you're not going to be able to hear people next to you talk in the Thomas and Mack Center, I'm convinced.
It's going to be amazing. I can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. So we'll go ahead and end on that note before, you know, Paul George ends up in a Lakers jersey right after this podcast ends. And so just what Chris, I want to thank you for coming on. One last reminder to our listeners. As always, you can find our full shows on Audioboom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, Stitcher, TuneIn, and today's Fast Break. Leave those reviews with the player that you want to hear for this week's Way Back Wednesday on iTunes. You leave a 5-star review. You tell us what player you want us to talk about for Way Back Wednesday. And Anthony and I will take it from there. Chris, again, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for making that awesome Lonzo Ball video, and thank you for bringing some positivity back to Lakers land.
We have good things ahead of us. I can feel it.